Sometimes Furlong, seeing the girls going through the small things which needed to be done, genuflecting in the chapel or thanking a shopkeeper for the change, felt a deep private joy that these children were his own. "Aren't we the lucky ones?" he remarked to Eileen in bed one night. "There's many out there badly off." "We are, surely." "Not that we've much," he said, "but still." Eileen's hand slowly pushed a crease out of the bedspread. "Did something happen?" Took him a moment to answer. "Mick Sinnott's little chap was out in the road again today, foraging for sticks." "I suppose you stopped." "Wasn't it spilling rain? I pulled over and offered him a lift and gave him what bit of change was loose in me pocket." "I dare say." "You'd think it was £100 I'd given him. You know some of these bring the hardship on themselves." "'Tis not the child's doing, surely." "Sinnott was stocious at the phone box on Tuesday." "Ah, the poor man," Furlong said. "Whatever ails him?" "Drink is what ails him. If he'd any regard for his children, he'd not be going around like that. He'd pull himself out of it." "Maybe the man isn't able."
"I suppose."
She reached over and sighed, turned out the light. "Always there's one that has to pull the short straw." Some nights Furlong lay there with Eileen, going over small things like these. Other times, after a day of heavy lifting or being delayed by a puncture and getting soaked out on the road, he'd come home and eat his fill and fall into bed early, then wake in the night sensing Eileen, heavy in sleep at his side,